How Football Explains America. It's a new release coming out. So Sal, who's always been gracious with his time, will join us here shortly again from ESPN's NFL matchup and longtime beat reporter.
That's a big concept there.
Which one?
How Football Explains America.
You need to read the book.
Exactly. I mean, that's big. Is it not?
I think so.
It's big.
I love when Sal has just such a good perspective on the NFL.
He sure does.
And man, he covers the league like nobody else. So we'll have him coming up here in just a few moments. Can we go back to the Kevin Stefanski press conference again? Nick Chubb, just like the new footballs they got in Berea, is excited to have both those back.
be nice.
I agree when I heard
him say downplay Nick's return and maybe the emotional lift that he could give everybody, I thought the same thing. However, he's, I think, also trying to not put a whole lot on Nick expectation-wise.
I understand.
You know what
that.
I mean?
No, I totally get that. But I think you can recognize the hard work he had to put in to get back to the spot where he was. And let's face it, the Browns could have cut bait with him. They could have said, you know what, Nick, thanks. It's been great. And this injury is really, really going to be tough to come back.
And no, and they paid him.
And they did. Mm-hmm. So let's embrace that.
But Andy,
there hasn't been a lot of good news around this team lately.
But don't you think, and let me, I think I know you well enough.
Right.
Don't you think most NFL coaches, MLB managers, mm-hmm. NBA head coaches, NHL guys, couldn't they all be a little more honest and frank without giving away trade secrets?
Yeah, that's not
more, a little more cordial.
It's not a trade secret. It's just silly. Let's embrace it. That's what I think. All right, let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We bring in a guy who is always gracious with his time, outstanding, if not the best reporter, I think, in the NFL. Love watching him. Love watching NFL matchup. He is Sal Palantonio. Hi, Sal. How are you?
Hello, Sal.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know we love having you on. So I'm going to ask you a really silly question, then we're going to get into the football. Because we were just wondering, you live in Philly full-time, right? That's your home, right?
Yeah, I live outside of Philly, yep.
So, and then you've got the Browns and Commanders this week, right?
Yes.
Will you drive or will you take the train? I know this is, I'm the only person that cares.
I haven't decided yet. It depends on, you know, a lot of different factors. Like if you leave on like a Saturday afternoon late, you get caught in I-95 traffic and you're just screwed. So then I'll take the train. But if I'm driving really early on Saturday morning, I will drive early and there won't be any traffic. So it depends on when I leave. The problem is getting out there on Sunday if you don't have a car. If you're taking the train getting out, you have to leave Landover, Maryland at a certain time in order to take the train from Maryland back to Philly, and it's really tricky. So in most cases, I do drive.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm fascinated because we're just not a train city here in Cleveland. So when people take the trains to get, you know, those East Coast cities. So I'm concerned about how you're getting there, but I'm sure you'll make it somehow.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. After 30 years, I do appreciate the concern.
So, Sal, in other words, no one here in Cleveland.
But, you know, better late than never. I really appreciate it. I mean, it warms my heart. It really does.
People care, Sal.
Yeah,
we care.
So nobody here in Cleveland should complain about driving.
That would be a great bumper sticker, Cleveland Cares. That's a good one. I like that.
There's Andy's new business, Sal. Thank you.
All right, I got to go print up some T-shirts. I'll be back.
I like that a lot.
Cleveland Cares.
1-3 Cleveland Browns after losing to the Giants and the Raiders. Should we be panicking? More importantly, Sal, should they be panicking?
Yeah, I think they should definitely be concerned. There's no question. There's no rhythm on offense whatsoever. You know, the protection is off. There's just nothing going on offensively. And, you know, I was just shocked that they lost to the Giants. The Giants are one of the worst teams in the NFL. They allowed them to execute on offense in certain parts of the game. I was just very surprised. Tell me, what is going on with Jim Schwartz and the defense? Because I can't figure it out. I think this will be a big test for both these teams this weekend. No question about it. You know, the Browns and Schwartz, I've always liked him, you know, over the years when he was here in Philadelphia. He's got his record against rookie quarterbacks is pretty good. And this will be a test for Jaden Daniels without question. But I just don't see any kind of rhythm on offense at all.
Okay.
We're wondering about all of that, Sal, and on offense, we keep going back to this. Okay, the offensive line is just really, really, really beat up right now. But is that something we should keep going back to, or is that something that they should just figure out and figure out how to make that offense work despite all the injuries on the offensive line?
It's hard to play football when you have injuries on your offensive line. Just ask Aaron Rodgers. He had a hard time playing football against the Broncos. He's got an old, injured offensive line, and he can't move. It's really difficult. Now, you know, I've seen Kevin Stefanski engineer certain offense where his offensive line is challenged, and I've seen him lay out the quarterback in certain cases. And now that things are exposed, you know, it's going to be very difficult for them, I think, to fix it unless and until they get the quarterback to put his foot in the ground, put that right foot in the ground, and, you know, get the ball out of his hands a lot more quickly than he's getting out of his hands right now.
Sal, I know that, like, a lot of people say when the Browns are relevant, it's good for the league. When Washington's relevant, it's good for the league as well. And Jaden Daniels has been fun to watch. Just your thoughts on him.
Well, we did a draft show for the NFL matchup show back in March. And in the film study that we did on Jaden Daniels, we were not surprised by his movement. We were shocked by how accurate his arm was on the deep ball. And we talked about that on our show. And when I saw that they were going to match Cliff Kingsbury's offense with Jaden Daniels, you know, I said right away, this has the chance to be very good. They drafted the young McCaffrey, and I think he's working out as a great slot receiver. Scary Terry McLaurin, that's what we call him here in Philadelphia, because every time he comes to Philly, he just terrorizes Lincoln Financial Field, so we call him Scary Terry. he's made an instant connection with Jaden Daniels, and the league is all about dual threat quarterbacks who can throw accurately on the run, or can throw accurately on second reaction throws, or accurately off script. And so far, Daniels has shown that. Now, this will be a different challenge for him. Like I said, Schwartz is pretty good at figuring out what young quarterbacks can do and cannot do. And the Browns do have a pass rush, and they'll make it much more difficult on him. I think this will be a very important test for Jaden Daniels. It is only four games. I don't like to go crazy after four games. We saw it with Robert Griffin III. I would say this is the number one thing right now in the National Football League. Sacks are at a five-year high. Blitzing is at a six-year high. Teams are just coming after the quarterback, and teams are sacking the quarterback and hitting the quarterback. Hits on the quarterback are at a three-year high. So it's incumbent upon these offensive coordinators to do a better job, in my view, of protecting quarterbacks. Last week was a very good example of that in Philly. Here was Todd Bowles, who blitzes quarterbacks when he wakes up and has coffee in the morning, and then may stop for a little bit of lunch and a nap, but then he will resume when the game starts. And he just has blitzed Jalen Hurts constantly in the last three matchups, sacked him six times. And the Eagles did really a poor job of protecting Jalen Hurts without Lane Johnson in the football game. And Hurts did a bad job of protecting himself. So to me, this is the number one trend in the NFL right now. Remember, and I think I might have mentioned this on your show last year, NFL quarterbacks, there were 72 different quarterbacks that started last year. 68 the year before, all-time high. And this is a problem in the league. These offensive coordinators are really good at scheming up passing concepts and passing trees and all this other stuff, but they better start protecting their quarterbacks, because that's the way you win football games now in the NFL over a 17-game season.
Sal, that screams running game to me. Yes, no?
And rushing, it is the highest per game, per team, since 1983. Mm-hmm. Running the football is the highest per game per team since 1983. I mean, we're playing 70s football right now because teams are coming after the quarterback.
Maybe that hopefully Nick Chubb can do something for the Browns as he comes back today. I don't know what the feeling is on if he's how quick he's going to be able to come back, but he's been back. He's allowed to practice now. He's got this 21-day practice window there. Just your thoughts on what he might be able to add and realistically maybe what Browns fans should expect when you've got one of the best running backs back, but we're just not sure how healthy he is.
Yeah, you know, it's not a question of just loading up on Chubb. Just load up on rushing attempts. You look at it, throughout the NFL over the last couple of years, if you add rushing attempts plus completions, rushing attempts plus completions, if it's over 50, you win the game 9 times out of 10. Go back to the box scores last week, rushing attempts plus completions, and you win the football game. So that's what they have to do in this game. Particularly because you want to keep the hottest quarterback in the NFL off the football field.
Sal, with that in mind, I've been perplexed here. The Browns in the last two games have given carries to their running backs 14 times and 12 times. While Deshaun Watson has been dodging, you know, defenders trying to sack him, it was 8 sacks 2 games ago. This is a team that has always run the ball well. Why are they not running the football when Deshaun's certainly having to deal with a pass rush like crazy and you have a new offense that might be trying to establish itself? I've not quite understood what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that particular question, but in general, there's volume and there's production. So what you see is a coordinator / head coach like Stefanski. If he doesn't get the production, he turns down the volume automatically. Or if the quarterback goes to the line of scrimmage with a run play and he sees the safety's nosing down or doesn't like how heavy the box is, he'll dump out of it. And we just don't know how much of that is taking place.
It's a great point.
Even sometimes when you ask quarterbacks and offensive coordinators and head coaches that direct question, they won't tell you the truth. I was listening to your commentary before I came on the air. Nobody tells you the truth anymore. It's very difficult to decipher, okay, did Deshaun Watson go to the line of scrimmage with a design run play that was given to him by Stefanski and then dump out of it? Or was that a design pass play? Sometimes you just don't know. So it has to be a willingness on both the play caller and the quarterback to stick to the run, even if you're not getting the production, because sometimes the volume is just as important to play complementary football. You're keeping your defense on the bench. They're getting a breather that allows them to do their job much, much better. I don't understand it. Right now, in vogue, in the league, I can tell you, the teams that are running the ball successfully are having much more success. Which is kind of odd, too, because wasn't it like two summers ago I was on your show and we were talking about how general managers don't want to pay running backs and they don't value them very much?
Yeah.
And here you have, I mean, where would the Falcons be without Bijan Robinson, who is, I believe, a top 5 pick or at least a top 10 pick?
And surprised a lot of folks when they took a running back that high.
Pay those men. Yeah. That's what I say. Yeah. Pay those men. Sal, tell me before we let you go, because I want to talk about your book. It's got a re-release now. How Football Explains America, especially with the holidays coming up, could be a good gift. What's the new release? What does this mean?
Yeah, it's a re-release. We've updated certain chapters of it and released it. The book did really, really well over a period of time, and the publisher was looking for titles to re-release, and I raised my hand, and I said, yeah, I'll work on this. This sounds good. And a lot of schools have used it. A lot of coaches have given it to their players. And so it's How Football Explains America. It's the how and why the game was created in the late 1800s and all the cultural influences on tackle football in America and how it became our national obsession. And I appreciate you mentioning it. It's on Amazon.com. It's being re-released in an updated paperback edition. And, yeah. Christmas is coming up.
See, before you know it, I just want. Are you concerned then about the future of the game, especially here in the States, where sometimes it's tough? Here in Ohio, it's tough to field. You know, it used to be it was a varsity at the high school level; it'd be a JV and a freshman team. Now it's getting tough to even field JV teams around here.
It's like that everywhere. Yeah. I live in southern New Jersey. It's a big deal, you know. But in the South, it's booming. So it's in certain areas of the country. Flag football, I think, is a good thing. I really do. I think flag football is great for the game. And you see all these 7-on-7 tournaments, leagues around all over the place. I think that's good. It's good for skill position players. Football is good. It's the ultimate team game. And, you know, you really find out. It doesn't build character. It reveals character in many ways.
A great point, Sal. Sal, thank you so much. You know we love talking to you, and we look forward to, you know, seeing your stuff over the weekend, and of course we're watching NFL matchup on ESPN. Thank you, Sal.
Thank you, Sal.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Sal Palantonio from ESPN, the Sal Pal on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Again, a reminder, his book, How Football Explains America, new release, and maybe a great gift for the holidays coming on up.
An Election Day gift.
What's better? Bring over a turkey and for Thanksgiving? Yes.
And Election Day?
How you can define America.
How it explains America, yeah. I mean, come on.
It'd be great. I think you should let all the candidates line up and tackle each other. It'd be great.
That's fabulous.
It's American politics at its best. All right, let's talk a little bit more about what Sal had to say.
That running game stuff was interesting.
I thought it was, too. Deshaun Watson also coming up at 1 o'clock. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. I love that stuff. Sal Palantonio, again, he's got a new book out, How Football Explains America. Check it out. It's a new release. And, man, I thought he was good. Deshaun Watson's press conference coming up maybe in about 15 minutes, so we'll hang tight as we get ready for what he has to say going into this week's game against Washington. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. You are at 216-474-0092. Jeff, thoughts on our conversation with Sal?
It baffles me. Not what Sal said. It just, and I asked him about the Browns and not running the ball, and he didn't have the specifics on it, which, of course, neither do we. And, you know, he said, I can't explain why they're not doing that. As Sal said, they're running the football more than the league has run the football since 1983 at this point. I thought that was a fascinating number for him to share with us. And it makes me wonder why the Browns, I mean, we're talking about an offensive line. I know an offensive line is beat up, so you can't run the ball. Okay, then you can't pass protect, then you can't do anything. Yeah, you can do something. Offensive linemen love to block in the running game, run the ball, and help set up everything else. And yet the Browns are among the league low in running attempts this year. I do not get it.
Last week they threw the ball 32 times. They ran the ball 22, and 8 of those carries were Deshaun Watson. So your running backs only ran the ball 14 times last week. And normally I would say, okay, maybe your passing numbers are a little bit higher because you need to score more than a touchdown. You need more than 10 points. The Browns were within the 10-point range the entire game. So don't tell me that they were chasing it down and they threw the ball more at the end of the game
without
because
question,
they were behind.
You're absolutely right, Andy.
So there's no excuse on that. I just...
And the weird thing is we know Kevin Stefanski likes to run the football. Now, do you think you can't run it with this line? I'd argue that, because if you can't run it, then you can't pass it. So why are you passing so much? You know what I mean? Maybe if you balance it, it'll help things out a little bit. And I also, you don't have Nick Chubb. Sorry, Deontay Foreman, when he took over in Carolina after McCaffrey got traded, rushed for over 900 yards. Jerome Ford had a real solid season last year. You can run the ball. You can do that. You have Royce Freeman on the practice squad. Is Royce going to the Hall of Fame? No. Can he run the ball? Yes. And we see week after week after week, Andy, guys who get carries get yards. That's the way the NFL works. Hmm. And I would really hope the Browns come out and run the football against the Commanders on Sunday.
We've got those stats that Sal just gave us. I want to go through those again because they were fascinating. I want to take up a phone call though first. Miranda is in Westlake. Hi, Miranda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Hi.
I'm okay. Like, I've, like, literally sat on my shoulders of my grandpa during the drive. I've been a football fan my whole entire life, and I was a sports player my whole entire life. I coached our junior national teams for soccer. I was a team player and a leader.
Mark Miranda, first of all, congratulations. That is an amazing resume. Amazing.
No, that's not what I'm talking about, though.
Oh.
I know leaders, okay?
Okay.
And, so, like, for 3 years, these men have been giving everything to this quarterback that's been paid millions of dollars more than him that's been playing on the bench. And our receivers, like, you can't blame our freaking receivers for, like, getting a perfect throw once in a while because, like, they're usually jumping, like, high in the air 7 feet to get their fingertips on the freaking ball and getting crushed. And our offensive line and our defense, how many times are we going to get on the field with our defense? Like, we cannot blame our defense, and our offensive line is hurt because, you know what? It's really hard to be an offensive lineman when there is no communication and he sits alone on the bench. Hmm. Like,
all right, Miranda, I have to ask you. I'll ask you.
Not a leader.
All right, I'm going to ask you the magic question. Do you feel better after getting that off your chest? Do you feel better?
I do. I'm sorry.
No,
I, like,
you're allowed
really
to. That's all right. You got the expanded version of a Browns Therapy Monday. That's all. Miranda, call again. We appreciate it. Thank you. That was a Browns Therapy Monday call.
It was
right
certainly
there.
A Browns Therapy Monday call.
Was,
on a Wednesday.
Yeah. So, look, who was it that said we don't let people talk? Who was it?
Somebody who got under your skin.
Way under my skin. Keith's in Willoughby. Hi, Keith.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Good, good.
Hi, Keith.
Hey, man. Listen, I've been watching football for 60 years. And
another good resume.
Yep. So
that doesn't make me an expert, but I'm just saying that. I've observed that I don't think it's not a running game anymore, and I think we've seen that over the last years that it's become more of a passing game. And if you look at, like, especially look at, we used to have great running backs, right? Brown, Greg Pruitt, Leroy Kelly.
We've always seemed to have good running backs. Yep.
Well, yeah, we always had them, and that was the way it was back in the day. But now we are passing more. And so, my perspective on the offensive defensive lines, if you look at just a typical athlete on the offensive line versus defensive line. The offensive lines guys are not as athletic. They tend to be bigger. That's okay for pass blocking. But I submit to you guys that if we turn things around and the guys on the offensive line were as athletic and as fast as the guys on the defensive line, we'd have a different situation here. We wouldn't have an offensive line problem anymore.
Well, our offensive line problem, though, is not – it's not – it's injuries. I mean, like, how do you – there's no answer for that.
Well, we think it's injuries. I think it's injuries, but other teams have injuries, and they're getting it done offensively.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Keith and Willoughby, thank you. Appreciate it. Let me give you some of those numbers because I thought they were super interesting. I'll dive into just one or two. Again, Deshaun Watson, his press conference coming up about 1 o'clock. 1 month into the 2024 season, the competition has never been tighter as – more games have been decided by 8 points, 39 of them, 7 points, 38 of them, and 6 points, 32 at this point than any other season. What's that say about the parity? These are all Sal Pal numbers that he gave us during the interview. That's amazing. They've been tied. I mean, look, the Browns games have all been within a touchdown except for Dallas.
And Sal was stunned they lost to the Giants.
Blown away.
So were we.
I think we all were.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to figure it out. I'm going to go through some more of these numbers. We're also going to have Deshaun Watson coming up from Berea, so we'll get into that in just a few moments. Actually, let's do that. Let's do it right now. Let's keep going because I like these numbers. League-wide teams are averaging 21.6 points per game, the fewest through 4 weeks since 2010. Are defenses better?
No. No.
Are offenses worse?
I think teams are trying to figure some things out, Andy. It goes back, I think, to what Sal said. You know, the league is designed to favor the passing game. Defensive coordinators have figured out, okay, how can we do that? Well, we can blitz like crazy. We can send everybody after the quarterback. And now offenses have to adjust. And how do they adjust? You adjust by running the football. I mean, that what keeps a if a guy's blitzing and you run past him, oh, that didn't work, did it? And I think that's something that you're going to see is going to be a problem, Andy. I do. Hmm. I think it's a problem.
Well, so throughout the history of football, it's always been the balance, right? I think you brought up the scales before. Right. That's how you see it, and it's the right way to do it.
Right.
For the last, probably until about 2 years ago, the scales were so heavily tipped on the offensive side that it was ridiculous.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden, defenses had figured out those Shanahan, Kubiak systems that we saw spreading all over the place that got the defense moving one direction, the quarterbacks moving the other direction, all of the cutbacks, all of that different stuff that was working so well. The defense had figured that out. They started playing these cover two, put the dome on top, and now the defense has swung to where it is so far ahead of what offenses are doing, and we are waiting for offenses to compensate. Now, some of that has to come down to what you said, Jeff, offensive line play. Like, offensive line play, we've had Mike Martz on the show going, we've seen lately the worst offensive line play we've ever seen. That this is the worst that it's been. That has become an epidemic. Now they're doing stuff on the front. Robert Mays did a great job breaking all this stuff down of what they're doing in fronts now to confuse the hell out of offensive lines with twists and stunts and all sorts of stuff going on, that now you're not only putting a dome on top to keep big plays from happening, but now you're confusing the guys up front. It just seems like defenses right now are really high on the scale, and offenses are trying to figure out how to rebalance the scale.
Let me give you some teams, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is NFL rushing stats through four games. And Sal said the teams that are running the ball are winning and doing pretty well.
Yeah, the stat that he gave us was amazing.
Baltimore is leading the league in rushing at 220 yards per game. Derrick Henry's been great. And though Baltimore's record isn't magnificent right now, I think they look good. They're the number one rushing team in the NFL. Green Bay won with Malik Willis at quarterback while Jordan Love was out. He had a lot to do with the rushing, but they ran the ball well. The Commanders are running the ball with Jaden Daniels, but also with their running backs. The Eagles have had some issues, but they have Saquon Barkley. And you see the teams that are running the ball are doing pretty well offensively and in wins and losses.
Hmm. All right. We'll dive into all this stuff. Also, Deshaun Watson coming up here next. Baskin Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.